So today, we are celebrating something called the Vaishnava Diksha, or initiation. Actually, it's first initiation. There's basically three initiations. There's the first initiation, which is called Harinam initiation, in which the candidate gets a spiritual name and also vows to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on repeat every day without fail, and vows to follow the four regulative principles: no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. The second initiation, which is called Brahman initiation, in which the candidate gets the Gayatri mantra, which brings one closer to Krishna and the spiritual master, and helps establish one in the mode of goodness. And then there's the third initiation, which is sannyas, which she will not be doing, at least in this lifetime. Now, please, no questions why ladies can't take sannyas. We'll answer that at another time, because that's a very complicated question and answer. So what is the meaning of initiation? Of course, the word initiation basically means to begin. But what are we beginning, and what is the goal of initiation, or the goal of spiritual life? Well, our goal in Krishna consciousness is to become happy. Everyone wants to be happy, right? Does anyone here want to be miserable? Raise your hand if you want to be miserable. No. Okay. So, unfortunately, we are looking for happiness in the wrong place. We are looking for happiness in the satisfaction of something which we are not. I'll give you an example. A story that my spiritual master told about a bird in a cage. Some of you may have, of course, the devotees have all heard this story, but those of you who are guests may not have heard this story. Once upon a time, a man got a bird, a pet bird, and he got a very nice cage for that bird, so the bird wouldn't escape. The cage was so nice, it was made of gold and jewels and all sorts of expensive items. And he spent a lot of time polishing the cage, taking care of the cage, and he actually forgot to feed the bird. Then ultimately what happened is, guess what? Can anyone guess? The bird died. And he just had the cage. So, we have a cage too that we're in. Several cages, actually. One cage is this body, which is a vehicle, just like all of you have. Or many of you may have a bigger cage, like a house or a car, which is also a vehicle. But the important thing about the house, the car, is not the house or the car. The important thing about the house and the car is the passenger or the person who lives in the house, right? Because what's the use of a house without a person? What's the use of a car that just sits there? So the important thing is the person. So, we have a vehicle. This body is a machine. According to the Bhagavad Gita, Yantra Rudani Maya, that's Sanskrit. It means the body is a machine, a material machine, and has, just like a car, has different systems in it, an electrical system, a circulatory system, a cooling system. We have many different systems in this body. You know, the heart system is the circulatory system. The nervous system, you know, all the wires, the nerves going all over the place. And so it's analogous, in other words, very similar to the car. Of course, much more complicated than the car. So, in other words, we have to take care of the car, we have to take care of the body, but the main thing is the person driving the body, the person driving the car. And so how to make that person happy? Well, the person can become happy by doing spiritual things, because the person is by nature spiritual. Sometimes people ask the question, if Krishna is so kind to us, why doesn't he make this material world nice? Why does he have to have things like death, disease, old age, other miseries. You know, it's too cold outside. I mean, why doesn't a Christian make Slovenia like Hawaii? I used to be in Hawaii. Many years ago, I was in charge of our temple in Hawaii. And it was so nice. There were mangoes and papayas and avocados growing all that. You could live outside. It was beautiful. So if Krishna actually loves us, why do we have the climate like this in Slovenia? Or even in Hawaii, there's misery too, but I'm not going to tell you about that. That's another issue. That's misery. Because there's different types of miseries. Miseries from the body and mind, miseries from other living entities, and also miseries from the material nature in general. So the reason that this world is not a pleasant place for us is because it's an unnatural situation. Even if we were in Hawaii, let's take that particular hypothetical example. Even if we were in Hawaii and everything was nice, the weather was nice, guess what? What I experienced there, the people argued more there. So there were miseries from other living entities. And everybody had some sort of mental problem. Not everybody, most of them. Had some sort of mental problem. So, in other words, because it's not their natural place. The example Prabhupada, our spiritual master, used quite often was the example of a fish in the water. When the fish is in the water, it's happy. Outside of the water, you can get it anything and it will not be happy, it will die. So we need to be situated naturally to be happy. And that natural situation is in a loving relationship with Krishna. Now, who is Krishna? Krishna, well, we can say God, but that's just sort of the generic name for the person. That's just his position. Just like in this temple, we have a president, but that's not his name. Right? Where is he? He's not here. What? Where is he? Oh, he's looking through the camera. Where's the camera? He can't see me, though. So, we have a president. So that's just the name of the position. It's quite a boring thing. No, not the position, not that his service is boring. Anyway, so that if you just refer to someone as Mr. President or here comes the president, it's very impersonal. It's not such a nice, close relationship. But if you want to have a close relationship with the president, then you call him Ananta. Ananta Prabhu. Right? Or even closer is, hey, buddy. Hey, friend, you know. So that's even closer. So all of us have a need for a very close relationship with someone who is supremely attractive, supremely intelligent, supremely famous. For example, if some famous person walked in the door here, some big star, I don't know any stars here anyway. But let's say someone who was extremely famous walked in the door, you'd all stand up and you would ignore me. Someone who's more intelligent, more attractive. So who is that supremely attractive, intelligent person? And that's Krishna. And Krishna is God's personal name. The name Krishna means the all-attractive person. Because we can understand that any attractive thing we have in this world comes from a source. And that source must have more qualities than the things that come out of it. Right? I mean, that's natural. That's logical. And that's Krishna. So our business, if we want to be happy, is to establish a loving relationship with him. So in order to do that, we have to wake up to our real nature. Right now, we are in a sleeping condition. Sleeping condition means we're dreaming. Like at night, you may have a dream that you are flying in the air. Anyone here have a flying dream at night? We've all had flying dreams at night. I had a fine dream a while ago, and I dreamt that I ran into some power lines. I was a bird that ran into power lines. And I got shocked, and then I woke up. So, you know, we all have these dreams, and the dreams last for 15, 20 minutes. And we are also dreaming in this life that I am a man or a woman, or whatever nationality we are, or white or black, or old or young, and then you wake up. After 80, 90 years, you wake up, hopefully. Or you go back to sleep again, have another dream for 80 or 90 years. So it's basically a dreaming condition. So to wake out up, or to wake up out of the dream, it requires some process. Like one's in a coma, it requires a process. And the process that is there to wake up and come to our natural constitutional position is called bhakti yoga. And the beginning stage of bhakti yoga is practice. To practice loving God. After a while, you become spontaneous, and you do it just automatically. But at the beginning, like we're talking about initiation, beginning, it's practice. Like we have to chant 16 rounds a day, that's our practice. To follow the four regular principles. But in the end, kirtani asadahari, one is always chanting because one loves it so much. Because it's natural, because it's spontaneous. And so this practice has been taught through the ages in a disciplic succession coming down from Krishna. Because the practice we're talking about can only be taught or started by Krishna. Krishna started, this is called a parampara, disciplic succession. And Krishna spoke this knowledge, what's called Abhideya in Sanskrit. Abhideya means the practice. He spoke this knowledge originally to Lord Brahma, who was the first person within the universe, and Lord Brahma spoke it to Narada. Narada spoke it to Vyas, and I'm not going to give everybody in the whole disciplic succession, but it comes down through the ages to present spiritual masters. And in present age, you have Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, you have Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you have Gaurakishore Das Babaji. These are just different names that some of you may not recognize. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, who came to the Western world in 1966, exactly 50 years ago. Bringing this oldest of knowledge coming directly down from God, directly down from Krishna, to the whole world. And so then Srila Prabhupada left this world in 1977 and then empowered others to carry on this tradition or carry on this line of knowledge and instruction, spiritual instruction. So today we are carrying this on as a representative of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, as a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and we're conducting this initiation ceremony. So traditionally at the initiation ceremonies, we not only have people promise to chant 16 rounds following the regular principles, but we talk about how to chant. Because everything is dependent upon quality. Not quantity, but quality. So the quality in chanting, there's two aspects of chanting with quality. One aspect is what not to do, and the other aspect is what to do. So as far as what not to do, we have these 10 things not to do, which are called 10 offenses, 10 deviations. And so I'm going to go through them rather quickly, and then I'll go through the what to do. So the what not to do, beginning with number one, is not to offend those who have dedicated, not to blaspheme those who have dedicated their lives to spiritual life, to spreading Krishna consciousness. Why is this dangerous? Because God, Krishna, considers his devotees to be very dear to him. And if one offends someone who is very dear to the Supreme Personality of God, then Krishna doesn't appreciate it very much. Just like if you have a son or a daughter. Whoops.
Pardon, sorry.
That's okay. If you have a son or a daughter and someone offends them, then you'll get very angry with them. And if someone is nice to them, you'll like them, right? Just like sometimes we know people who have children, we go up to the children and say, oh, what a nice child you have. And the parents think, what a nice sannyasi he is. It's very easy to please the parents. Very easy. Because I go up to them, to the parents themselves and I say, how nice you are. They say, what's wrong with you? I pat them on the head and say, what's so nice? This guy is strange. But if I go up to the child, pat him on the head and say, what a cute little child, that's another thing. So therefore, one should treat Krishna's devotees nicely, and then one gets the mercy of Krishna. So, and then, second offense really is not a problem here in Slovenia. At least as far as I know, it's not a problem. The second offense is considered the name of Krishna to be equal and, or independent, or, I mean, the name of the demigods. Probably none of you know what demigods are. Don't even have to explain it. Demigods are like people who work for God. They're his employees. You understand? Like if you work in a business, let's say you have a big business here, or let's say you go to Microsoft and it's Bill Gates. He's the supreme personality. Not anymore. Who's in charge of Microsoft? Someone else. But anyway, he's the founder of Acharya of Microsoft. And then someone else works for him. He's like a demigod. And Bill Gates is God. So, in the same way, there's God, and he has people who are just employees, and he fires them sometimes, too. These demigods, like this, Rama, Shiva, Shiva's not fired. God, Vayu, Varuna, Indra, these are different names. These are all positions. So in India, you have a lot of people who worship these demigods, these other personalities. Because in India, they're accused, they're used to bribing people to get what they want. What I mean by that is that if in India, if you want a driver's license, you don't have to take a test. You just pay a little bit of money and get a driver's license. Very nice, efficient system. Can you do that here in Slovenia? Yes?
No.
No. If you do that, you'll go to jail. You offer a place or someone a bribe, right? You go to jail. Or if someone stops you, you're driving a car and they're going too fast. Here's 100 euros. Doesn't work. In India, it works. So that comes from the system of bribing what's called the demigods. But Krishna in the Gita says, Avidhi Purvakam. It is not authorized, it is not recommended. So that's the second offense. Next offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. Of course, the spiritual master, one doesn't need to follow the spiritual master blindly, but one should understand the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna and guides one in spiritual life. And to please Krishna, you follow the directions of the spiritual master. But it's not blindly following. The next offense is to blaspheme Vedic literatures, and literatures of pursuance of the Vedic version. Next offense is to consider the chanting of the holy name to be imagination. Next offense is to consider or to give some perverted interpretation of the chanting of the holy name. Next offense is to commit sins on the strength of chanting. In other words, to do something that is not proper and think that by chanting you'll be excused by it. For it. Next offense is to think that chanting is just another ritual, what we call a karma kandya rituals. Next offense is to instruct people who are faithless or people who may not make the right use of the knowledge in the chanting of Hare Krishna. And finally, next offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and maintaining material attachments. It's not offensive to be materially attached. it's offensive to maintain the attachment, not try to give them up. And then finally, all these offenses are, let's say, summed up in the offense of inattentive chanting. So while you're chanting, it's important to be attentive. Now, how can one be attentive while they're chanting? It's a big question. Because most of us have this problem with the mind. Krishna says in the Gita, Chanchala hi manaha krishna pramati bhagavad judam tashaham nigraham manye vayor iva chidushuram. He says the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong, and to subdue it is more difficult than controlling awareness. So how to control the mind? Well, I'll give you some tricks how to control the mind. One trick is the Dhruva Maharaj trick. Dhruva Maharaj wanted something from Krishna. Of course, what he wanted was not completely spiritual, but still he revealed his mind to Krishna. In other words, he was praying while he was chanting. My dear Lord Krishna, of course, he was asking for a big kingdom. I don't think any of us are chanting with that in mind. So he was chanting for what he wants. So, in other words, as the Bhagavatam states, one can should approach Krishna, akama sava karma moksha kamadarti tirena bhakti yogini yajeta purushantaram, whether one is free of material desires, full of material desires, or desires of liberation. You reveal your mind to Krishna. Krishna, pray. Because chanting is praying. Chanting is praying to Krishna to engage us in his service. To take us to him. And chanting is praying to Krishna to help us. Like a child, like Srila Prabhupada instructed us that we should chant in the mood of a child crying out for his mother. Lord Chaitanya also says the same thing in the Shikshashtaka. Ainanda tanuja kinkaram patita maam vishame bhavamburam krupiya tavat pada pankajas tu siti duli sadrasam vachintaya. Help me. I'm suffering in this world. Help me. So one should understand that the chanting is begging. And then you can hear better at that particular point. So there's many methods to chant attentively, but it's extremely important. Realize that you're directly dealing with Krishna. Krishna is on the tip of your tongue. Another verse is Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasavigra Purnashudya Shuddha Nichimukto Vinatvam Namanamanyam. Krishna is non-different from his name. The Nama and Nami, that means the name, and the person named is the same. Whereas we're different from our names, the names of material objects are different from the name of the material object, like banana there, it's different from the object banana. But Krishna is there in his name. When you realize that, I'm with Krishna, I'm with God, you have a portable God. You can bring him with you wherever you want. Pretty good. Every time you go, Krishna, he's there. Wow, that's far out. I realized that when I first came in contact with Krishna consciousness, that was the most wonderful thing. That I could always have my friend with me. You know, sometimes you see your friend, sometimes you don't see your friend. But imagine a friend that could always be with you 24 hours a day. All you have to do is say Krishna, and your friend is with you. That's really wonderful. And Krishna is Suvardham Sarvabhutanam. He's your best friend. Surit means well-wishing, good heart, best friend. So that's amazing. And that helps one be attentive in chanting the holy names. And when you're attentive, you make quick spiritual progress, and you come to the platform of spontaneous devotional service very quickly, and you feel so much ecstasy that it's uncontrollable. I mean, very few of us have experienced uncontrollable ecstasy. So uncontrollable that we faint, roll on the ground, tears pour out of the eyes. Has anyone experienced that? No. I don't think anybody's experienced that. But that's what's in store. That's a coming attraction. You know, if I told you, you could be like that 24 hours a day. Of course, you have to watch the painting while you're driving the cars. But anyway, you can experience so much happiness. Let me ashru taranga bhaja, tears coming from the eyes like torrents of rain, hair standing on end. So many symptoms of ecstasy. And that's what is in store for you in Krishna consciousness. And that comes from love. Because that's why we're called bhakti yogis. Or we're practicing the process called bhakti yoga. Because it's the yoga of love. And one gets to the point of loving Krishna, loving God so much. And then also, one begins to love everybody. That's another symptom. If you see someone who's religious and they don't love everyone, they're not very spiritually advanced. We see sometimes people in different religions and they call people of other religions names. They say, you're a Rakshasa, demon, Kapi, or whatever. This is not an indication of spiritual advancement. This is an indication of material consciousness. A real spiritualist, another verse I can give, Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atmana Ivana Pashati, that a real spiritualist sees everyone connected to God, and sees everyone as his brother and sister. Just like you have in the Christian tradition, St. Francis. I think some of you have heard of St. Francis before. And he considered all the animals, all the plants, everything to be his brothers and sisters. And our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said about St. Francis that this was first-class God consciousness. Prabhupada respected it very much. So we are not sectarian. We appreciate spirituality according to certain qualities a person develops. Not according to the sectarian religion one may claim to be a member of, but according to the spiritual qualities. Of course, there are other spiritual qualities: peacefulness, tolerance, self-control, kindness to all living entities. These are what we will develop as we begin to love Krishna. So we're happy, we're kind, we're compassionate. You have all these things in the future waiting for you. Pretty good, isn't it? Wow. Kevalananda Kanda, Bhaja Bhaja Bhai, Chaitanya Nidai. So by worshiping Krishna, simply happiness. And Prabhupada one time was asked about devotees. He said, don't you do anything for recreation? Don't you take a vacation? Like I can go around the room and ask some of the devotees. Of course, they may go somewhere with their family. But do they stop Krishna consciousness? Take a break from Krishna consciousness? Do any of you take a break sometimes? On the weekends? Oh, it is the weekend, that's right. So, you're off duty, right? No, Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is practically a system of recreation. There's no need for other... I mean, obviously we can play a little rugby or something for exercise. But for happiness, everything's built in. And we do have exercise, are we not? You have to exercise your arms, your legs, you jump up and down, jumping jacks. So everything is built into Krishna consciousness, and I've been doing it, this following Krishna consciousness, since 1971 completely, and it gets better every day. It's amazing. Every day. Can anyone else say that about their life? It gets better every day. Except the devotees. But no. Some people say some days are worse, some days are better. But I'm saying it gets better every day. Okay? So that's the future. That's what initiation is all about. Welcome to the family. And then also, just one thing we're supposed to mention is that Srila Prabhupada, of course, is the founder of Acharya, the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Everybody who takes initiation is his siksha disciple. The Prabhupada's standard of knowledge, Prabhupada's standard of instruction, example, are the bottom line for every member of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. And when one takes initiation of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, one is dedicated or promising to dedicate their life to help push forward this movement. And it's not just an ordinary movement. It's meant for creating a spiritual revolution in the misdirected lives of the new pious civilization, changing society. Not material revolution, no guns or anything like that. Changing people's consciousness to change the society from a cruel society where there's danger all the time, where people are mistreating each other, to a society where the people are compassionate with each other, loving regardless of whatever religion, race, ethnicity, gender they are, to change that society, to make the world, like Vaikuntha means free of anxiety, to make the world like the spiritual world. That's the purpose of this society. We have a revolutionary mood, a spiritual revolutionary mood. And that's one reason why I joined the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to save the world. Think like that. Save the world. That's Krishna consciousness. So it's very exciting. So you're a member of this, and for your life, you serve Srila Prabhupada's mission in your own way. I mean, everybody has their own capacity, their own situation. And it gives you a purpose in life. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I was trying to find my purpose. And I mentioned this in class, some of you were here the other day. You know, I asked my mother, what is my purpose in life? She said, your purpose is to please me. And I said, it doesn't sound like such a good idea. As you see, I wasn't born in traditional Indian society, but anyway. And I said, doesn't sound good, give me another purpose. The purpose is to make money. I said, doesn't sound so good to me either. Why? So you can have a big house. Why? So you can have a big family. Why? So you can make me happy. I said, oh, now I understand. So what's the use of just living for the sake of living? Making money just so you can live. And it's just like being on a treadmill. You know what treadmill or like one of those exercise wheels those little rats or hamsters are on? You know, when I was young, I used to have a rat at home. No, not outside in the cage. Because we have to have some of the love. Want a loving relationship? You might as well love a rat. So the rat had this nice little thing in the cage where it went round, 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 round. Of course, the rats only do that at night, which would keep you up. So all night long. Anyway, so the rat was running, 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 but it never got anywhere. You know, what's the use of running if you don't go anywhere? So in this life, if you don't have a higher purpose, you're running, 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 working, working, working. I mean, devotees were telling me some of them have to work 10 hours a day at a job. Oh my God. 10 hours a day, and then they come home too tired. They just eat, go to sleep, wake up, chant the rounds, go to work, go to sleep. Not chanting rounds, but anyway. So that's good, they do have a purpose. But if you don't chant your eyes, if you don't have Krishna consciousness, then what are you doing it all for? Isn't it? I mean, what's the use? What's the purpose? Because then you get old, and you leave it all behind you anyway. You can't take it with you. Where in Krishna consciousness, you can take it with you. Not, you can't take your dhoti or sari with you, but you can leave your body with you. You can take your Krishna consciousness from one lifetime to another. I mean, I'm sure that my next life I'm going to be doing the same thing. I won't look the same way. But I'm sure in the future. This is eternal. I'm going to be doing the same thing eternally. Wow. Who can say that? They're going to be doing the same thing eternally. So that's a great benefit. It's a purpose in life. It's a purpose for eternity. So, all right. Thank you very much. So we can proceed with the sacrifice. I think the next thing is giving the name, right? So, it's going to be very hard for you to go to the Vyasasan. You have to step over like 200 people all the way there. But you should offer obeisances. This is the problem, I guess, from here, because that's more practical. And the duties are closed right now. If you can get back there, you know you can. Deities are closed, so you know, business. And so you offer your obeisances to to my not so humble self. All right, so what are the four regulative principles?
No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, and no intoxication.
That's right, good. And how many rounds do you chant every day?
16 rounds at least.
16 rounds minimum, okay, that's good. And so you get the beads with your right hand, and they give you your name. And you have a very special name. Of course, all names are special. Okay, your name is, I'm good with the right hand, Rasheshwari Devidasi. It's all right, Rasheshwari is composed of two words, Rasa Ishwari. It's the name of Rasheshwari Devidasi. Nice name. Rasheshwari Devidasi Ki Jai. Okay. What happened?
He just played.
All right, now we'll have the fire sacrifice portion. And then after that, there'll be what? Kirtan, prasadam? Okay. Hey, Acharya. Acharya's watching. Say hello to Acharya.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Kuntale,
Shrimate,
Shrimate, Bhakti Siddhanta,
Sarasvati,
Sarasvati,
Namine,
Namine,
Swaha,
Swaha.
Krishna Sambandha,
Krishna Sambandha,
Vijnana,
Vijnana,
Daine,
Daine,
Prabhave Namaha,
Prabhave Namaha,
Swaha,
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 Madhurya Jvala,
Madhurya Jvala,
Premadhyaya,
Premadhyaya,
Shirupanuga,
Shirupanuga,
Bhaktida,
Shri Gaura,
Varuna Shakti,
Varuna Shakti,
Vigrahaya,
Vigrahaya,
Namostute,
Namostute,
Swaha,
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 Namaste,
Namaste,
Gauravani,
Gauravani,
Shri Murtaye,
Shri Murtaye,
Dinatarine,
Dinatarine,
Rupanuga,
Rupanuga,
Viruda,
Viruda,
Apasidanta,
Apasidanta,
Vanta,
Vanta,
Harine,
Harine,
Swaha,
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 Namo,
Namo,
Gaurakishwaraya,
Gaurakishwaraya,
Sakshat Vairagya,
Murtaye,
Pranamba,
Pranamba, Rasambode,
Rambujaya,
Rambujaya,
Te Namaha,
Swaha,
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 Namo,
Bhakti Nodaya,
Bhakti Nodaya,
Sachitananda,
Namine,
Gaura Shakti,
Svarupaya,
Rupanuga,
Varayate,
Swaha,
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 Gaura Virbhava,
Umestvam,
Nideshta,
Sajjana Priya,
Vaishnava,
Vaishnava,
Sarvabhauma,
Shri,
Shri,
Jagannathaya,
Jagannathaya,
Te Namaha,
Te Namaha,
Swaha,
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 Panchakalpa,
Panchakalpa,
Arubhyascha,
Kripa,
Sindhubhya,
Evacha,
Patitanam,
Bhavanebhyo,
Vaishnavebhyo,
Namo Namaha,
Swaha,
Swaha,
Vadanyaya,
Krishna Prema,
Vadayate,
Krishnaya,
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 Krishna Chaitanya,
Krishna Chaitanya,
Namne,
Namne,
Gauratishe,
Namaha,
Swaha,
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 Tatvatmakam,
Krishnam,
Bhakta Rupa,
Svarupakam,
Bhakta Avataram,
Bhakta Kyam,
Namami,
Bhakta Shaktikam,
Swaha,
Swaha,
Hare Swaha. Rama, Rama, Rama.